Chapter 28. "Wanda, dear, what is it that has you so engrossed?" asked Harry Seldon as he entered his granddaughter's office at Streeling University. The room had been the office of the brilliant mathematician Hugo Amaril, whose death had impoverished the psychohistory project. Fortunately, Wanda had gradually taken over Hugo's role in recent years, further refining and adjusting the prime radiant. "Why, I'm working on an equation in section 33A2D17. See, I've recalibrated this section." She gestured to a glowing violet patch suspended in midair in front of her face. "Taking into consideration the standard quotient and... there, just what I thought. I think." She stepped back and rubbed her eyes. "What is it, Wanda?" Harry moved in closer to study the equation. "Why, this looks like the terminus equation, and yet... Wanda, this is an inverse of the terminus equation, isn't it?"
"Yes, Grandpa. See, the numbers weren't working quite right in the terminus equation. Look."
Wanda touched a contact in a recessed wall strip, and another patch sprang to life in vivid red on the other side of the room. Seldon and Wanda walked over to inspect it.
"You see how it's all hanging together fine now, Grandpa? It's taken me weeks to get it this way."
"How did you do it?" asked Harry, admiring the equation's lines, its logic, its elegance.
"At first, I concentrated on it from over here only. I blocked out all else. In order to get terminus to work, work on terminus, stands to reason, doesn't it? But then I realized that I couldn't just introduce this equation into the prime radian system and expect it to blend right in smoothly as if nothing happened. A placement means a displacement somewhere else. A weight needs a counterweight."
"I think the concept to which you are referring is what the ancients called yin and yang."
"Yes, more or less. Yin and yang. So you see, I realized that to perfect the yin of terminus, I had to locate its yang, which I did, over there."
She moved back to the violet patch, tucked away at the outer edge of the prime radiant sphere.
"And once I adjusted the figures here, the terminus equation fell into place as well. Harmony."
Wanda looked pleased with herself, as if she'd solved all the problems of the empire. "Fascinating, Wanda. And later on, you must tell me what you think it all means for the project. But right now, you must come with me to the holoscreen. I received an urgent message from Santani a few minutes ago. Your father wants us to call him immediately." Wanda's smile faded. She had been alarmed at the recent reports of fighting on Santani. As imperial budget cutbacks went into effect, the citizens of the outer world suffered most. They had limited access to the richer, more populous inner worlds, and it became more and more difficult to trade their world's products for much-needed imports. Imperial hyperships going in and out of Santani were few, and the distant world felt isolated from the rest of the empire. Pockets of rebellion had erupted throughout the planet.
"Grandfather, I hope everything's all right," said Wanda, her fear revealed by her voice.
"Don't worry, dear. After all, they must be safe if Rach was able to send us a message." In Seldon's office, he and Wanda stood before the holoscreen as it activated. Seldon punched a code on the keypad alongside the screen, and they waited a few seconds for the intragalactic connection to be established. Slowly, the screen seemed to stretch back into the wall, as if it were the entrance to a tunnel. And out of the tunnel, dimly at first, came the familiar figure of a stocky, powerfully built man. As the connection sharpened, the man's features became clearer. When Selden and Wanda were able to make out Rach's bushy, doll-like mustache, the figure sprang to life.
"Dad, Wanda," said Rach's three-dimensional hologram, projected to Trantor from Santani.
"Listen, I don't have much time."
He flinched as if startled by a loud noise.
"Things have gotten pretty bad here. The government has fallen, and a provisional party has taken over. Things are a mess, as you can imagine. I just put Manella and Velas on a hypership to Anacreon. I told them to get in touch with you from there. The name of the ship is the Arcadia 7.
You should have seen Manella, Dad, mad as anything that she had to go. The only way I was able to convince her to leave was to point out that it was for Velas's sake.
I know what you're thinking, Dad and Wanda. Of course I would have gone with them, if I could have. But there wasn't enough room. You should have seen what I had to go through just to get them onto the ship.
Rach flashed one of his lopsided grins that Selden and Wanda loved so much, then continued.
Besides, since I'm here, I have to help guard the university. We may be part of the Imperial University system, but we're a place of learning and building, not of destruction. I tell you, if one of those hot-headed Santani rebels comes near our stuff...
Rach, Harry broke in, how bad is it? Are you close to the fighting?
Dad, are you in danger? Asked Wanda.
They waited a few seconds for their message to travel the 9,000 parsecs across the galaxy to Rach.
I couldn't quite make out what you said, the hologram replied. There's a bit of fighting going on. It's sort of exciting, actually,
Rach said, breaking into that grin again.
So I'm going to sign off now. Remember, find out what happened to the Arcadia 7 going to Anacreon. I'll be back in touch as soon as I'm able. Remember, I...
The transmission broke off, and the hologram faded. The holoscreen tunnel collapsed in on itself, so that Selden and Wanda were left staring at a blank wall.
Grandpa, said Wanda, what do you think he was going to say?
I have no idea, dear. But there is one thing I do know, and that is that your father can take care of himself. I pity any rebel who gets near enough for a well-placed twist kick from your dad. Come, let's get back to that equation, and in a few hours we'll check on the Arcadia 7.
Commander, have you no idea what happened to the ship? Harry Selden was again engaged in intergalactic conversation, but this time it was with an Imperial Navy commander stationed at Anacreon. For this communication, Selden was making use of the visiscreen, much less realistic than the holoscreen, but also much simpler.
I'm telling you, Professor, that we have no record of that hypership requesting permission to enter the Anacreonic atmosphere. Of course, communications with Santani have been broken for several hours and sporadic at best for the last week. It is possible that the ship tried to reach us on a Santani-based channel and could not get through, but I doubt it. No, it's more likely that the Arcadia 7 changed destination. Voreg, perhaps, or Serip. Have you tried either of those worlds, Professor?
No, said Selden wearily. But I see no reason, if the ship was bound for Anacreon, that it would not go to Anacreon. Commander, it is vital that I locate that ship.
Of course, the commander ventured. The Arcadia 7 might not have made it. Out safely, I mean. There's a lot of fighting going on. Those rebels don't care who they blow up. They just train their lasers and pretend it's the Emperor Aegis they're blasting. I tell you, it's a whole different game out here on the fringe, Professor.
My daughter-in-law and granddaughter are on that ship, Commander, Selden said in a tight voice.
Oh, I'm sorry, Professor, said an abashed commander.
I'll be in touch with you as soon as I hear anything.
Dispiritedly, Harry closed the visiscreen contact. How tired I am, he thought. And, he mused, I'm not surprised. I've known that this would come for nearly 40 years.
Selden chuckled bitterly to himself. Perhaps that commander had thought he was shocking Selden, impressing him with the vivid detail of life on the fringe. But Selden knew all about the fringe. And as the fringe came apart, like a piece of knitting with one loose thread, the whole piece would unravel to the core. Trantor. Selden became aware of a soft buzzing sound. It was the door signal.
Yes?
Grandpa, said Wanda, entering the office, I'm scared.
Why, dear? Asked Selden with concern. He didn't want to tell her yet what he had learned, or hadn't learned, from the commander on Anacreon.
Usually, although they're so far away, I feel Dad and Mom and Bellis. Feel them in here.
She pointed to her head.
And in here.
She placed her hand over her heart.
But now, today, I don't feel them. It feels less, as if they're fading, like one of the dome bulbs. And I want to stop it. I want to pull them back, but I can't.
Wanda, I really think this is merely a product of your concern for your family in light of the rebellion. You know that uprisings occur all over the Empire all the time, little eruptions to let off steam. Come now, you know the chances of anything happening to Rach, Manella, or Bellis are vanishingly small. Your dad will call any day to say all is well. Your mom and Bellis will land on Anacreon at any moment and enjoy a little vacation. We're the ones to be pitied. We're stuck here, up to our ears in work. So, sweetheart, go to bed and think only good thoughts. I promise you, tomorrow, under the sunny dome, things will look much better.
All right, Grandpa, said Wanda, not sounding entirely convinced. But tomorrow, if we haven't heard by tomorrow, we'll have to...
Wanda, what can we do except wait? Asked Harry, his voice gentle. Wanda turned and left, the weight of her worries showing in the slope of her shoulders. Harry watched her go, finally allowing his own worries to come to the surface. It had been 3 days since the hologram transmission from Rach. Since then, nothing. And today, the naval commander at Anacreon denied ever having heard of a ship called Arcadia 7. Harry had tried earlier to get through to Rach on Santani, but all communication beams were down. It was as if Santani, and the Arcadia 7, had simply broken off from the Empire like a petal from a flower. Selden knew what he had to do now. The Empire might be down, but it was not out. Its power, when properly wielded, was still awesome. Selden placed an emergency transmission to Emperor Aegis XIV.